Good afternoon from the magical Isle of Vashon. This is Captain Joe. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. And one of these days I will explain the bell system of keeping time aboard ship, which goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. But we have a great deal to cover today, and so that one will be something that we will talk about later on. So greetings to all of our listeners all over the world, and many thanks to all of them who have not only sent me messages of approbation for what we're doing here, but also have made financial contributions to the Voice of Vashon, and in particular from members of my Coast Guard family, the Coast Guard Channel, who have been very generous in both their approval of what we're doing and also financially. Last week, we talked a little bit about the binnacle list and how the binnacle list got to be named what it is, and all of the people who are on the binnacle list in the week since the last time that we foregathered here at the Gene Bosch Studio in the middle of the town of Vashon, just on Vashon Highway Southwest. In that week, a number of people have reported in and have been put onto the binnacle list, and some of them are pretty serious and some of them are of great concern to your Captain Joe. So that has led me to think a little bit about positions, and positions that have been a part of my life, and there are actually four of them that are of immediate notability. And the first one was my grandfather. And my grandfather was a country doctor in what was then rural Virginia in Fairfax County. Fairfax County, where George Washington had his home, and his home is still there, Mount Vernon, today. When ships go past Mount Vernon on the Potomac River, when military ships go past Mount Vernon on the Potomac River, they still render honors to the father of our country, the commander, our first commander in chief. And he was, my grandfather was a country doctor in Fairfax County, and he's buried there today. The second one was the physician that was aboard my ship, and we've talked about her, the Coast Guard cutter Ingham, and about her part in my life. I was both her XO, her second in command in Vietnam. And then when we returned after the Vietnam deployment, I became her captain myself. And the position that we carried was a public health service doctor who was by specialty, a surgeon, and he was not yet board certified. So he would spend his time off duty sitting out in the sun and practicing his knots for his board surgeon's examination. And he was both a wonderful physician, a very compassionate and caring man. And I will tell some stories about him and about our Vietnam deployment, but I'm moving on to the next position in my life, and that's my own personal primary care physician, Dr. Chris. And he has been both my physician and my friend for about 10 years now. And the fourth one is my friend and neighbor and colleague, Dr. Scott. And Dr. Scott is his first name. And Dr. Scott is one of those of the four with whom I have had my most recent contact. And sitting next to me is Molly O'Brien, who is Truman's daughter. And I was going to say that she's my guest, but actually the people that I have on here are not guests. They are members of the Voice of Vashon family. And so Truman and I, during the week, had the opportunity to converse back and forth about what we hope to accomplish, not only with the broadcast that we do, but also with the pieces of life that we have left. And one of those things that we hope to accomplish is what we do on these broadcasts that he and Molly have together, and then I have here, and with Molly with me today. And we're going to talk about some environmental things, and we're going to talk about The chili cook-off, in which she had some remarks to make this morning earlier on her broadcast. But one of the things that Truman and I agree on is that there's enough unhappiness in this world, and what we're going to try to do in the time that we have left is to make the world just a little bit better, or at least a little corner of it that we happen to be privileged to occupy here. And so that may sound a little bit in the Pollyanna sort of way, but if it does, that's tough, because that's the way that we are, that's the way that we feel. And so that leads me into a story about Dr. Scott and about making the little corner of the world that he occupies just a little bit better. So not too long, he is either a hospitaler or a hospitalist. I never get that straight as to which one is which. Molly, do you know the answer to that? Which one is which?
I do not.
All right. Well, I know that somebody will correct me on that, but whichever it is, he's one of these people that works in a hospital and takes care of the people that are in residence in a hospital, because in medicine today in the United States, most physicians do not themselves go into the hospitals where their patients are domiciled and are being treated. And so Scott does that, and he does that out in Colville, out to the west in the eastern part of the state. And so not too long ago, he was at the bedside of a lady who was clearly on her last voyage. And he asked her if there was anything that he could do. And I think that knowing Scott, that he was probably very candid with her as to where she was headed and where this last voyage was going to take her. And so she said the one thing that she was really concerned about was her cats, that she had three cats. She did not have any other family close aboard, and she had three cats that she needed to be assured that they were being looked after when the time came for that final crossing of the bar. So Scott confided this story to his wife, Michelle, who is this very minute probably working to establish a chain of kitty dispensing machines all over Puget Sound, because there's an inexhaustible supply of them. And if we can build a chain of vending machines for kitties right next to ATMs, that would probably be a good thing and would help us move the population along. But in any case, Scott told the story to Michelle, and Michelle immediately went into action, as she always does with these things. And last week we talked about Michelle being the source of supply for my little sailor, who is turning out to be a very satisfactory member of my crew. So Michelle cast about and had decided that if she could not find someone who would take them at least on a foster basis, that she would take them herself, thus adding to an already fairly large population in the house next door, because they live right next door to Captain's quarters. Fortunately, somebody with Vashon Island Pet Protectors stepped forward and said, I will be able to take them for a while. And so all of this was reported back to the lady who was progressing toward her crossing of the bar, a crossing that all of us are going to have to take, some sooner and some later. And I am told that the expression on her face and the sense of relief that was in her heart was made all of the effort just worthwhile. And I tell this story not only because I have now available those three cats for a permanent residence from the place where they're being fostered, but I also have I tell it because this is a perfect example of someone who saw a need, someone whose heart was filled with not only the need, but also the way forward to take care of that need. And that, in fact, right now, the need is that we have the opportunity for somebody, preferably here on the Magical Isle, to step forward and take a cat, or cats, plural. Two of them are young, and one of them is herself going to cross her particular bar pretty soon. But if anybody out there is interested, Michelle's email address is MRP131, all together, MRP131 at me.com. MRP131 at me.com. So the story is one which has importance to the woman who, in fact, did die, not just a few days ago. But she died knowing that the one request that she had in life was to be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled. And so I tell this because it's important for us to be thinking about things that we can do for others, and that sometimes those things that we can do for others come from the most unlikely place. And so for that, Scott and Michelle, I thank you. A salute from the captain's chair. And now I'm going to talk to Molly about a couple of things that have to do with environmental things. But before we get to that, good afternoon to you, Molly.
Good afternoon. I'm not sure I'm coming through.
Well, let's make
sure. Let's see. Let me try a different mic. Try yellow.
Okay. Let's try mic number four.
Does that one sound better?
Well, I thought you were coming through okay.
Well, I wasn't sure if I was. It didn't look like it, so. I see lines waggling a little more now.
I see a dancing needle.
That's good. Finally, that's working.
All right.
I just wanted to say really quick that, you know, my two cats that I have are from VIP. And also, both my mother and I, at different times in our lives, have been suckered when going to the feed store to get a salt lick or something like that for the horses, and ended up bringing a cat home. So we've done a fair amount of finding cats that need homes.
All right. So, Michelle, if you're listening, and I believe that you are, then know that you have a willing participant here in Molly sitting next to me. And we're going to move on to some environmental things.
Yes.
But before we do that, the chili cook-off is coming on Sunday. And I listened to you and your dad talking about that this morning. And your dad confessed that his attempt at a dress rehearsal was not a big success. So I know that you are totally loyal to him, as well you should be. But did you sample the dress rehearsal?
I did not. And the reason I did not was because over the last several decades, he's had to tone his chili down for me because I'm a non-spicy person. So I wanted to let him do it the way it should be without toning it down. So his dress rehearsal went without me. I just got to hear about it afterwards.
Well, what he told me, what he told all of us who were listening to Morning Scramble this morning, was that the dress rehearsal did not go well. And that only fortifies my position because my chili is going to, I don't even have to do a dress rehearsal because I know exactly how it's going to turn out. And I also know that although your dad is certainly welcome to make the attempt, he can do the instrument approach should he choose to do so, but it will be an effort which is doomed to failure. And all I hope is that we get a lot of people that come. It's going to be a great afternoon, and it will generate some money for the Voice of Vashon.
It will, and so. I'll be there serving his chili because he's running this thing and we'll have to be running all over the place. So I'll be there hoping people like his.
So one of the things that you and I have talked about, Molly, is the collection, the enormous collection of plastics, which have been deposited into the oceans all over the world. And I came across a website and an organization which is doing something very positive about that. And so I've given to you the printout of it's called 4oceans.com. And it is proclaiming itself to be one ocean, one mission. One thing I'd note is that it's not declaring itself as a 501c3. In other words, it's a non. It is not a nonprofit. And so I suspect that the people who are organizing in this and running it are certainly altruistic, but at the same time, they intend to make a living out of it. What do you think about this? I know that we have not talked about this before this morning, but this is indeed unrehearsed and unscripted. So what do you think about this?
That it is. I've actually seen the name. I've seen the name around a fair amount because they sell bracelets and things to try to raise money. And I've seen their ads pop up on my feed on Facebook.
So the bracelets are made from the plastic that they collect. And the other things that they sell are T-shirts. And they proclaim that the T-shirts are made only from organic cotton. And therefore, they are not going to cause any damage to the environment that they're working to save. But I went into the website in a little bit of more depth, and I noticed that they have constructed some particularly interesting boats, which they are using to scoop up the trash that they collect. So one of the things that they are proclaiming is that as of this morning, when I refreshed the website, that they have collected 7,026,777 pounds of plastic since they've started this company 2 years ago, and that they are doing it the way that they proclaim this. They're doing this 1 pound at a time. So by right now, they're probably up to 718 pounds. So we could buy a T-shirt, or we could buy T-shirts, plural. We could buy the bracelets, which they make out of the plastic that they collect. And but what's interesting to me about this whole business is that they have taken a problem. They have done the same thing that Truman and I have tried to do here, and that's deal with it just 1 pound at a time. We talk about doing things one child at a time, one person at a time, one animal at a time. We talk about doing those things because if you try to deal with the problems of the world, and in this case, the enormous amount of plastic that's floating around out there in our oceans, then you can feel overwhelmed and say to yourself, well, there's nothing I can do. When in fact, if you start off with just that 1 pound at a time, I think that this is a great effort, and I'm going to continue to track this whole operation and see how they do. So it is 4oceans.com, and if you call it up and take a look, you'll see some very energetic young people doing this. And another thing that is of interest to me about it is that one of the places that they've been doing this is using people from Haiti. And I have lived in Haiti. My father was the manager for Standard Oil for Haiti at one time many years ago. And so I'm a little bit familiar with the country. I'm a little bit familiar with the politics of it and the economics of it. And it has had a terrible, terrible history. Right from the very beginning in colonial times, it was a republic that was established to provide a haven for slaves. And so it has a very bloody history. And any time that worthwhile employment can be found for some of those people, this is as worthwhile as it can get. So I'm going to be continuing to watch and monitor this and to report on it periodically. So the second thing, yes, Molly is giving me a signal here.
I just had one last thing to say on that topic. The other thing to keep in mind about the one item, you know, 1 pound, one this, one that, is to remember that if everybody does one of whatever it is, then you can move a mountain. If you go to the beach and you pick up one piece of beach trash, but if everybody that goes to the beach does that, then you've got a ton of beach trash cleaned up. My Lynette, Craig Bellis is one of the other hosts here. His wife Lynette and I went to Costa Rica in February this year, and we went on a little kayaking tour, and she and I started picking up chunks of wood with nails that were floating in the mangrove swamp and throwing them in the back of our kayak. And then we went out to the beach and I just picked up a couple of pieces of trash, and one of the other women saw what I was doing. And boy, she and the other women marched off and collected a whole ton of stuff. And it was kind of cool to be able to load our kayaks back up and head back in and just take that stuff away, get it off the beach.
So well done. And the point is one thing at a time. And just like Scott did, I'm advocating that we, each one of us during the week coming up, reach out and touch somebody and make that one at a time difference. So, Molly, the other thing that I had for you was about the snowy owl.
I saw that.
Yeah, where's the snowy owl paper?
You've got a paper right here.
Okay, so the snowy owl is a beautiful bird. It is the only bird apparently that can live north of the Arctic Circle full time, but it also travels south. And this particular piece that I wrote down for the broadcast today had to do with it getting as far south as New Jersey, which is a journey and a half in itself. And it ended up in a town on the Jersey Peninsula, with which I'm very familiar because I was the captain of one of our Coast Guard cutters at Cape May, which is also where our Coast Guard boot camp is. So we want to, if we see any snowy owls out here in the West, we'll know that it is way out of our terrain. And so guard it well. They're absolutely beautiful birds.
They do come to ocean shores every few years.
The snowy owl comes to ocean shores?
Do you remember the photos that I have of them?
I do not, but I'm about to be reminded.
I have a few shots of them taken from it's like 4 to 5 years. They come for a short amount of time in the wintertime to Damon Point at the end of the tip of Ocean Shores. And I got to go down there, it was about, I think, 2011, and photograph them. You just walk out on the point, and there's a whole ton of them out there.
So I make the point here that Molly takes absolutely beautiful photographs, and I will report on it the next time that she has a show up at the Hardware Store Restaurant, which is also one of our island art galleries. So since I've got Molly here, I'm going to use her to talk a little bit about Patrick O'Brien and the stories that he wrote. And that takes us to our nautical term for the day, which is the word forecastle. And it is a contraction of the word forecastle. And hundreds of years ago, sailing vessels had a small castle up on the forward part of the ship. They actually had one aft as well. And the archers were stationed up in the forecastle and in the after castle. And over the centuries, the term came to be contracted so that we use the word forecastle today. And when it's properly written down, and Molly, I know that you always properly write these words down, it has apostrophes in the places where the letters have been dropped out.
Correct.
So the word today is forecastle, and it was originally spelled forecastle. And what do you think about that?
I think that I can never remember the correct pronunciation, but I know that I'm not supposed to say forecastle. That's even
right.
If it's written that way.
That's right.
And I go, is it foxhole, foxhole? I always mix it up.
Okay, so now you need no longer mix it up. The proper pronunciation of the word is foxhole. And we will bring other terms in as the day goes on. And as our time is going on far too quickly, for me at least, because I have so many things that I want to get out there, I'm going to bring up a couple of other things before we get to my traditional departure, injunctions. So the first one is that there's 1 week before Election Day. That means that if you have not yet torn that strip off of the top of your ballot, the one which is equal in intensity and importance to those old mattress tags, then please do so. Make the choices that you have on your ballot. But the important thing is that whichever way you vote on the most precious of one of our most precious privileges is the secret ballot. Whichever way you do it, vote and then send the ballot in. You don't even have to put a stamp on it today. And or you can drop it off at the library where there is one of the drop boxes. But you only have a week to go. And I would hope that everybody that listens to us, no matter what jurisdiction you're in, the 5th of November is your voting day for whatever ballot measures are there for you. So we're going to Halloween is coming up. And for Halloween, there is a, Molly, you talked about that this morning. What is the big event for Halloween that Voice of Vashon is sponsoring?
It's the showing of Zombies,
yes,
at the movie theater at 6 o'clock, and directed by Matthew Cohen, who is the son of our own Susan McCabe. And it is one of the most fun movies around. It was awesome. It's quite low budget, but it's perfect. It is so funny. You've never seen a zombie movie from the point of view of the zombies before.
I have never seen a zombie movie at all.
This one you might want to see.
Maybe. So then, of course, the Chili Challenge is on Sunday. I have a YouTube recommendation for everybody, and that is type in Ships in Terrible Storms. And it is about 10 minutes of clips of ships in really bad weather, and give you some idea of what my Coast Guard people, and in fact your Captain Joe, endured when we were still going to sea, and I was still sitting up in the captain's chair on the bridge of ships under my command. And we've got just so the one other thing, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Smilax is 75 years old. We are really getting full value for money out of that ship. And with that, it is time for me to give you my final injunction, which always is that everybody watch out for everybody else. Do something nice and kind for somebody during the week. And we will talk again from the captain's chair next week, and don't forget ballots into the ballot box. So everybody take care.
You know, it does.